You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking First Cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Kyle Porter, KP. That looks like a fresh haircut.
It is. Feels great.
Looks good.
I love getting haircuts.
Yeah.
I read one time that Jimmy Kimmel got a haircut every day, which I think is a little bit odd.
No, that makes sense.
Does it?
If you're on television every single day, you want to look exactly the same every single day. So your hair, I can't imagine it grows much, but grows every day. He ensures, I mean, I'm sure it's not like a lot's coming off if you're getting your hair cut every 24 hours, but he's ensuring the same exact look routinely.
I think the concept makes sense. I just don't understand how you're able to physically cut off.
Yeah.
Like it almost feels like you would take too much, and by the end of the week, it would be shorter than it was on Monday.
Yes, his barber's running a great scam on this one. Just pay me every time. I don't think. Okay, so I'll tell you what. When I go to get my haircut, I don't always trim like the top. So yeah. I basically just, for the most part, get it cleaned up around the sides every single time. I think that's what he's doing.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. That's the best part anyway, right? Sometimes, so like usually at our house, my wife cuts everybody's hair because we have like 80 people in our house and we can't afford to do it, you know,
I envision like the opening scene from Home Alone where all the kids are running around eating peas. Like I've envisioned.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some days it's like that, but the last couple of times I've gone to get it cut, and it's like such, if you get the right person, I can't believe we're talking about this, but if you get the right person, it's such a great experience. I've had two women the last two times that have just been, they've just been fabulous. Like they've just been great haircutters, and it's a delightful experience. I enjoy it.
We'll move on in just a second, but do you like to chat while you're getting your haircut? Cause I could do without the chat.
No, I don't want to chat. I want to contemplate. I want to think about,
yeah,
the future of the PGA Tour. I want to watch the Little League World Series, the regionals. Yeah. And so you got to give the early. I didn't do this the first time. I actually initiated the first time. It was just downhill. But the second time, she initiated, and I kind of, you can answer and like still shut it down a little bit if the person has social cues, and she did. And we chatted at the end. It was like the perfect amount of chatting because you don't, like, you're in the chair for 30 minutes. You don't want to chat. You don't want to talk the whole time, right?
I talk all day long. I don't need to talk in the chair.
Totally. And then I got into like, she's like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, here, this is not going to go right. Well. Like, you know, because everybody has their like little golf take, but we chatted the right amount because like at the end it was cordial. It wasn't like we hadn't talked for 30 minutes, but we didn't have to talk for the entire time.
All right, good to hear. Yeah, I don't like talking. TPC Southwind. In fact, golf was played today, not just haircuts. And this golf course, KP, before we get into the leaderboard, didn't have much bite, which is a little bit disappointing because what we saw kind of on Monday and earlier in the week, this thing was going to be fiery. And they were like down 5 inches of rain in June and July. It was going to be firm. It was going to be fast. And then the biblical rains came and now everybody's going nuts.
Yeah, if you shot, what, two over, that was a nightmare.
Yes.
Basically, you're T103 right now if you're two over. And to me, you know, like you were saying earlier in the week, two over would have been like, yeah, you're not like, that's fine. Good, decent score. And, it just, I mean, par was, what was, field average?
68.6, 1.4 under par.
Yeah. Which is, man, that's pretty low. And it's not unusual for a TPC course, right? You know, we see this at a lot of TPC Craig Ranch. We see it at a bunch of different places that the Summerlin tour goes to.
Summerlin gets scorched every year.
But it's fun when courses can. It looks really lush, by the way. And maybe it's just the kind of jarring nature of going from watching the Women's Open last week, watching like two or three weeks of men's golf and in Scotland and that sort of area. But it looks just, and I don't know, maybe it was the rain, but it looks really lush. And then you throw on top of that that they're playing Preferred Lies, and it's just a boat race.
Two rounds of 62. Siwoo Kim, JJ Spaun. JJ Spaun has not played particularly well leading into this week. That was a bogey free 62 from him. And then Siwoo, you know, withdrew on Sunday last week and capped his Thursday by holing out from 168 yards for eagle on 18 to shoot his 62.
Yeah, 28 on the back from Siwoo. You know, they did it a little differently, but the thing they had in common, Rick, was I think they were first and second or first and third in iron play. And, you know, we say it pretty much every podcast, you have to hit the ball really well. And I think especially at, you know, this is a little bit of a dart throwing contest. And so if you're hitting eight great today, you're going to score. And both of those guys did. I was thinking about this. Could you have come up with a more random duo at the top of the field?
No, they do not. Like, they are opposite players, right? Like, there's nothing in common.
Sahith just closed out a 63, by the way. He's up there as well. Yeah, it was like Siwoo and JJ Spaun. You're just like, I don't, you know, Siwoo's resume is obviously really good. I looked this up. JJ Spawn's only never finished better than 62 in the FedEx Cup. And right now he's projected
second
or third or whatever. And he's got a real, like, a legit opportunity to get to East Lake, given where he's sort of sitting. I know it's just been one round, but he came in like 25th or 26th. So yeah. pretty like kind of a lot at stake for somebody like that over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. If you can guarantee your spot into East Lake, you're talking about, we talked about this earlier in the week, the guaranteed money, all the perks that come with that. Sahith Tagala shot that 63. He's in. The chase pack of six under is JT Poston, KH Lee, and oh yeah, the hottest golfer on the planet, Tony
Big Tone,
just like refuses to stop shooting 64s.
He's I saw that. I was writing about it. The scoring average over his last 10 rounds, like 65 and a half or just something just absolutely stupid. Which 60, you know, 64 is barely under that, which is just kind of tells you about how he's been playing. I said this on one of our shows this week. I think it was a Tuesday preview. I think Tony might win the FedEx Cup. He was kind of in it last year. I think he started East Lake 7 under or 8 under, because he won the first playoff event.
Yeah, he just went backwards, right? I don't know what he ended up finishing, but he did not have a good tour championship, if I'm remembering this correctly.
Yeah, that's right. I think he finished in the top 10, but man, it is difficult to envision, at least right now, a tour championship that doesn't include Tony Finau battling for $18 million on Sunday afternoon. Now, that's a long way from now, but he's just playing so extraordinarily well. You know, some of his numbers on Thursday, Rick, he didn't really hit driver that well. He didn't have a ton of distance off the tee. He was doing it kind of like JJ Spaun and Siwoo did it with his iron play. And I don't know if this is just a course where he can't kind of let it let it go a little bit off the tee. I presume that's sort of the case, but he's been really impressive, really locked in. I saw some of his quotes just now. He's talking about how he took Wyndham off, but he played every day because he wanted to be really sharp for this week. And you could argue he's the best player in the world right now, which is pretty cool for Tony Finau going into the next 11 rounds of the playoffs.
Really good time to be hot. And this has been going on for like 3 months for Tony Finau. Let's hit the notables real quick. Ricky Fowler started the week at 125, shot a 5-under 65, currently projected at 79. So that would not yet be enough to punch his ticket to Wilmington next week, but this is the start you need. Maybe you can roll things over. He's got a new voice on the bag. Any hope for Ricky staying power, or is this a flash in the pan?
I think there's some hope. You know, I read his transcript and I didn't see a ton of him. He was this morning, right?
Yeah, so he was gained 3 strokes from tee to green. His approach play was strong, putted well, drove it well. It was a well-rounded statistical day for him.
Yeah, it was. I wonder, you know, not having Skovron on the bag is weird. And he talked about how he didn't use the word weird, but he just kind of said like, listen, I still heard him in my head because I've been listening to him for the last 12 years. Right. And, that there's something about that. And I don't know if that makes you, I don't know if that's what like made him play better, was a fresh start or whatever, but you know, he talked about, somebody asked him, what's the one thing that if you had to pinpoint one thing, he's like, I'm just not putting well. And he's like, I'm hitting it pretty well off the tee. That was evident on Thursday, second in the field in strokes gained off the tee. But I don't know that I'm like, I actually think Fowler can kind of stay in the mix and stay in contention. I don't know that he has enough confidence to win a golf tournament with the way he said he's used 5 different putters this year.
I would have guessed more, quite honestly. Every time I see him, he's got a new putter in hand,
which is disconcerting.
I haven't used 5 putters in the last like 5 years, and I love switching putters. This guy shouldn't be.
This has to be his best round of the year, right? I don't have it in front of me. Maybe you do, but 65 has to be the. He probably did something better than that at CJ Cup. Maybe like, 64 there.
Yeah, like he was scorching for the first couple of days at CJ Cup. But I don't know what, like the strokes gained numbers were, if you want to compare those, but I'm not sure. Some of the other notables.
He shot 63 in the third round at CJ.
Yeah.
But other than that, this is it. It's been a lot of scores in the 70s. A few 68s, a 66. A lot of 71s, a lot of 77s, a lot of 73s. And good for him. I hope he makes it. It's been a bummer that he's just had such a, you know, at least for him, bad to mediocre at best last 2 years.
Still a little bit of work to do for Ricky to get into the BMW Championship. A couple of the bigger names are inverted on this leaderboard. You got to scroll pretty far to find them. Let's talk about not only the number one golfer in the world, but the number one guy in the FedEx Cup standings. That's Scottie Scheffler, a 1-over 71, which featured bogeys on 12 and 13, a double on 14, and KP. He also tried to exact some revenge on Cam Smith by intentionally dragging his feet through his putting line. I don't know. Is that how you saw it? It wasn't that malicious. I think it was.
Yeah. So this video kept going around. I was working on a couple of things this morning and hopped on Twitter, and this video, people are like losing their minds. Yeah. And I'm watching it and I'm like, am I an idiot? Like, am I missing something? And I think the thing, and it's all over Twitter if people want to go check it out. I think the thing that I guess people were freaking out about is that he walked in front of Cam Smith while he was squatted down to putt. And he didn't step in his line, right? Like there was no.
I agree. No.
And I think
so Cam Smith's marker, it's Cam Smith's marker, then where Scotty walks, then where Cam is squatting. So it's not like he actually walked his line. He just walked in front of it.
Which is, you know, it's not like the like the greatest etiquette in the world, but also he was so mad at the time that I honestly, like, if you told me Scottie Scheffler never even saw Cam Smith standing there, I would believe it, because I think he was just seeing red. Like, I think he was just so pissed about losing. What did he lose? Four strokes?
Four and a half strokes putting.
Yeah, so bad. That I like legitimately think he didn't even, and honestly, like, the video wouldn't be a thing if Cam Smith didn't look up the way he did.
It's such a great reaction.
It is. Like, and it's like, and it's dude. it's very memeable, and like it's funny or whatever, but I don't know that Scheffler is the, like, that could happen on a golf course, I guess, with a top guy. I don't know that Scheffler is your guy there. Like, I don't know if he's the one that's going to make that happen in the first round of the first playoff event with somebody that's the number two player in the world. That just seemed, I don't know, it seemed a little bit overblown for what it actually was.
Scotty lost 4.5 strokes putting, his second consecutive round in which he has lost more than 4 strokes putting. It is his worst putting performance as a professional. The only round I have documented worse for him also came at TPC Southwind, but it was in 2014 when he was an amateur, Kyle. So a little bit of sour putting recently for Scotty, in a place that has kind of given him fits at sometimes in the past.
Does any of this make you, like, where do you stand on him winning the FedEx Cup? He's so far out in front. Right? Well,
but it doesn't matter, though. He's only going to start with a 2-shot lead. He could be a million points up. He's only going to start with a 2-shot lead if he's.
No, I know. But right. What I'm saying is, like, he has a, like, unless he just completely falls apart the next 2 weeks, he's like, that's sort of my point, is he's going to start with a 2-shot lead. And
I don't think he'll win the FedEx Cup.
Okay. Just because of the way he's putting, or what?
Well, this is a longer, I mean, so yes, basically. So when you start getting to this point in the season with a lot of the top guys, you have to start splitting hairs. And when some of them are scorching hot, playing at the top of their game, have absolutely no flaws, and one guy is very much not putting as well as he has been for, I mean, this has been going on for 6 or 8 weeks now. And you know, if you don't, this 3-week stretch is a lot of momentum. And if you don't have it, that 2-shot lead will disintegrate immediately. And then it's just wide open for the best players in the world.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting about this, you look at his last, let's see, 8 starts dating back to the Byron Nelson. He's been negative strokes gained putting in 6 of them. And I think what intrigues me about that, Rick, is when at the start of the year, he wins Phoenix, he wins Bay Hill, he wins the Masters, obviously, all these events. And everybody is like, dude, Scotty he's become an amazing player. But if you looked at the numbers, his tee to green stuff was pretty much the same as 2021, right? And he simply was like, couldn't miss from February to May, right? Like, he just made everything. And I think, and if you look at it now, the tee to green stuff, pretty much the same as it was at the beginning of the year, as it was for most of 2021, but he's lost strokes putting in 6 of his last 8. And I think that's, you know, I think that's instructive when we think about, like, these top guys, they just, for the most part, sit at a tee to green baseline. Like, they just have a higher tee to green baseline than the guys that are not the top guys. And when they have those weeks or those months or whatever where they put the lights out, that's what makes them the stars. Is everybody has these, like, hot months putting, but when your baseline from tee to green is half a stroke gained, you're A, not going to win, and B, because of that, not going to become a star. So I think he's kind of on that, like, down wave, not as a player, but just with the putter. And it means he's going to finish T13 and T21 instead of winning golf tournaments.
There's a couple other notables I want to talk about, but I'll loop them into a larger conversation with the live odds. We'll hit those. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And we're back. Our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook have the updated live odds. Tony Finau, the favorite, 7-1. Siwoo Kim, 12-1, along with Sam Burns. Patrick Cantlay, who's finishing strong, 5 under par with one to go, is 16-1. We talked about Sahith Tagala. He's 18. And if you scroll a little bit further, you can find John Rahm at 22-1 KP. That's essentially where he was to open the week. He made a couple of birdies coming in and got in at 3 under 67. But it was a pretty slow round for him otherwise.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, I had him on for most of the afternoon, bogey free, right? I don't think he made a bogey, but he didn't really, it was just a very, I think it speaks to the course, right? Where you said par was what, 68?
Yeah, a little bit higher, 68.6, I think.
So it was like he shot even par. It was like he parred every hole, right? Is sort of what it felt like as you watched him. And I think his score sort of, you know, based on what the field average was, kind of indicates that. So, man, Rahm, I was looking at his numbers this morning. He's been not very good on approach shots.
Right.
Like almost a historically great driving year and not getting anything out of it. Which has to be frustrating, right? Like he's just not hitting his approach. I mean, I think I said this on HQ. Do what?
I think he is frustrated. I think it is frustrating.
For sure. But I said this on HQ this morning. I'm pretty sure I predicted that he would win 4 or 5 times on the first cut, like back in January, because I was getting frustrated because I was like, you guys don't understand the level that he is playing at right now. And he, you know, he lost Tournament of Champions to Cam Smith. But he was just playing at an unreal level from tee to green. And that just, it hasn't been the case. And maybe he finds it this week in Memphis, but I don't love him at 22-1 right now.
Terrell Hatton at 25-1, 3 shots off the lead, trending in the right direction coming in. That's my favorite click right now.
Okay. 20, what is he at? 25.
So he's at 5 under, which Sam Burns is also at 5 under. Sam Burns is 12-1. Is Sam Burns from this position twice as likely to win as Terrell Hatton is? Maybe he is, but that's the implication that Caesars is making.
I mean, what do you value on this course with the way it's playing right now? Is it cause they're different players, right? Like Burns is drive and putt and Terrell Hatton's one of the better iron players in the world.
Right.
Do you value one over the other based on the way the golf course is playing?
I don't value putting as much. Hatton's way better coming in.
Even though this, I don't know that I would make this argument. I think you could make the argument that it's a little bit of a putting contest.
Today was.
Okay.
I hope it does not continue. And even the PM wave played harder. So I'm hoping we don't get like the absolute birdie fest TrackMan competition for the rest of the week.
Yeah. But to answer your question, like I don't think Sam Burns is twice as likely to win as Terrell Hatton. Although I will say Sam Burns is, I've said this 15 times this year, the most underrated American 25-year-old sort of star of the last 20 years. I mean, nobody ever talks about him.
Yeah. He's like built for the modern game. I do love it, but
he's one of the, I didn't look this up. I don't know who the others were, but he's been in the top 10 going into the, in the FedEx Cup, going into the playoffs each of the last 2 years. And Rory probably, Xander maybe, JT, but there hasn't been a ton of those guys. And he's been super consistent on the PGA Tour and doesn't really get doesn't really get talked about or doesn't get a lot of accolades for it.
Well, if he wins this one, that'll help. 12-1 if you want to click his name right now. Okay. Round by round recaps coming the rest of the way. Rounds two, rounds three, rounds four. That's how it works on the PGA Tour and on the First Cut Pod. But for now, big thanks to producer Troy. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.